that's why I think a new dungeon crawler wouldn't be as successful. Hey everyone, welcome to Push My Buttons Games. I'm Dungeon Master Mike. I am joined with the spectacular
Panda Pat, who hey, actually Panda Pat. Streamed this past week.
Nice. What'd you stream?
I streamed Gears of War. Someone was like, yeah, I think I'll probably play Gears of War next on my new system. And I was like, okay. I'm going to play now. Don't get my hopes up. I'll always play Gears. I will always play Gears, my favorite game in the whole entire world. I will always play Gears. But nice. It's been a while, so I've been sucking hard, but you can sit there and watch me shoot at walls.
So, Panda Pat, who has streamed Gears, and I just got off of a really good conversation, which we will recap on, but we're also joined with...
the Captain Platinum.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
Just living the dream, bud.
Yeah. Yeah, the dream. That's good stuff. We need more dreaming. Especially in the wake of Marvel Midnight Suns. I don't know why that was like a connection that I made. We were just talking about Midnight Suns. We were just kind of recapping and getting ready for some news. And then a podcast worthy conversation spun off of it. So I'm gonna try and duplicate that as much as I can. But first, can we have Panda Pat? Do you mind just kind of talking to us a little bit about what Midnight Suns is?
So, okay.
For those who don't know.
Well, I didn't know until I watched the trailer. I was
right.
Really
it was announced. Yeah, it was announced last week, and they just did the gameplay footage on the first. So two days ago.
Yeah, so I got super excited because I'm thinking, oh, we're getting another Marvel Universe game. I don't fucking care what it is. But I'm super excited because I like Marvel Universe games, you know, because I loved the two Marvel Ultimate Alliance. Yes, they were better because of the time that they released and people expect more than what they are now. But I was super excited because of that. And then I'm watching this gameplay and it's like you pick cards and then it fights for you. You don't get to like be in the action.
Yeah. You know,
strategy like. Thing.
There was an old PSP game back in the day. Like, so PSP, that was what, 2006? 2007?
I just barely got my first PSP ever this last year, so.
It's got some good titles on it. So the PSP came out about 15 years ago. It met with some success. It met with enough success to have its successor, the PlayStation Vita, which crashed and burned, which is really sad because there was some really, really good stuff on the PlayStation Vita.
But and it's just a great system, too.
Yeah, it was great. But when you have the choice between that and a cheaper 3DS, which can also... which just even though they're stopped production of the 3DS, in fact they've already stopped production of 3DSs. The library of games is just massive, so it's really sad the PlayStation Vita didn't survive. But the PlayStation Portable, the PSP, had two games on it that I actually really liked. They were part of the Metal Gear series. Mm-hmm. It was Metal Gear Acid and Metal Gear Acid 2. The story was really weird. It was kind of an offshoot of the Metal Gear series. If you know anything about it, you know that the main character from Metal Gear Solid is a clone, right? Solid Snake is a clone of Big Boss. And so in Metal Gear Acid, you are a clone of Solid Snake. So you're a clone of a clone, and that never turns out well. And it was because their justification of the story was when Solid Snake retired, they didn't feel like they wanted to give up an agent as good as Solid Snake. So they cloned Solid Snake and made you. So you were still doing stuff for the government. And so like, there's some really cool characters that just never made another appearance back up in the series ever again. It's kind of forgotten, but Metal Gear Acid and Acid 2 had the same style, where it was a tactical RPG with cards, And I remember liking it, but what didn't make sense to me in that particular game was, if you're in a normal Metal Gear Solid game, or even if we kind of take back and try and think about the situation on, like, I hate using the term realistic because they're video games, but if you try picturing it, if you're a soldier that goes in with a certain amount of ammo and a certain amount of weapons and a certain amount of, like, you know, gadgets that you may have, why does you drawing the right card at the right time determine if you're going to decide if you're going to fire that gun or not?
Right.
So if you have like a 60 card deck and only one of those cards is the machine gun, the massive one that's strapped to your back, does that mean you're only ever going to fire that gun once? You know, you see what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't, like, a card right. system, though fun, doesn't quite make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so Midnight Suns feels very similar to that. It's made by the company that does XCOM, which is an amazing game.
They also have that card situation.
Yes, they also, XCOM doesn't, but Midnight Suns does.
Oh, okay.
So, XCOM is a pure tactical RPG. You learn abilities, you keep those abilities in your repertoire. You're limited to the items that you bring with you into battle and stuff like that. But the problems that I have with cards in a tactical, any card-based tactical RPG, or any card-based RPG in general, this also goes for Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories.
I was just going to ask if this is going to be like that. That was the only other one I could think of off the top of my head.
Right. Cards do add like a good amount of like randomness to it. Like mechanically, if you were to take this game and transform it into an actual physical card based game, yeah, it's fun. It's kind of like, will I be able to like draw the heart of the cards and come out of this scenario? But when you're controlling characters like Marvel superheroes and their abilities are restricted to what's currently in your hand, like, what's Wolverine going to do if he gets shot? Do you have to play a card that's rejuvenation for him to activate it? Does that mean like his abilities and powers are conditional upon your hand? Mm-hmm. So it kind of breaks that immersion a little bit. Mechanically, I'm sure it will be fun, because all the other games that are card-based that I played that are integrated with RPGs, they're always fun. But it always kind of breaks the narrative for me. It's like, why not use this rejuvenation ability that Wolverine has consistently? Why does it depend on if I have a card? And they don't normally justify it. It's kind of up to you in your headcanon to fix it up.
Right.
And so that's the problem that I got in Midnight Suns. But then,
graphics are freaking amazing for a game that you don't like really get to play. You're just throwing out cards, I guess. I don't know. Like, yeah, I want to run around and chop people up. That's not something you get to do.
Yeah, it lacks kind of like the free roaming element, I'm guessing, with this type of system. Well, you and I were talking about kind of something else too, about like, you made the comment of this is kind of like their attempt at throwing of giving us something similar to what would be a Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
Right, which would be nice if we got a real Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, but they gave us the Switch one, which, I mean, to be fair, I'm satisfied with it, but if they did freaking Midnight Sun graphics in Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, nobody would have any issues.
See, and that's the thing where I'm not quite sure about, and that's kind of where the conversation got in before we decided to record, and then we were just like, oh, we should probably get this recorded.
Well, considering we started an hour late, my fault.
Yeah, well, that wasn't anyone's fault. That was your computer deciding to just take a crap.
Yeah.
Your sound card crashed, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the guy I'm talking to, he's like, uninstall everything and reinstall it, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. But I was talking, and this is my about to say something controversial moment. I don't think a Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 would be successful. I don't think that format is fun anymore. I think it was fun back in the day. Right, because back in the day, in Nintendo 64, there was a game called Gauntlet, It actually began with the, like, I think the normal Nintendo or maybe even one of the more archaic systems, but then it got into to Gauntlet 64. There were kind of like these, I guess, team of four multiplayer games where you can control a character and each character has their own abilities and you just defeat hordes and hordes of monsters. And that kind of evolved a little bit into the ARPG format, which was what we have with Diablo 2.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Diablo 3 was pretty successful.
Diablo 3 was mixed.
Right.
It was successful in the sense from a business perspective. That's actually like a whole other thing. Diablo 3 came out in 2012 or 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And it never quite reached the level of success that they wanted to because of the decisions that were made. Part of that had to do with the real money auction house. Nobody wanted that, but you could just essentially buy the best equipment through real money on the auction house. That feature was eventually removed. They formatted the game to where it was there's like 14 different difficulty levels, so you just played the same game over and over and over and over again. Some of the design decisions were really weird. I'm not a Diablo 3 expert to be able to break that down. But
I was surprised because with that specifically, like, people who had never played Diablo 2 were like so down for Diablo 3. And then now I'm like, okay, well, you love Diablo 3. You're going to play Diablo 2 with me? And they're like, I don't know. And I'm just like, what the shit? Like, This is what it's built off of. What's the difference?
Yeah, there's a couple of new world differences, right? Like the fact that you can respec your character at any given time, which mm-hmm. you can't do in Diablo 2. You can respec your character 3 times in Diablo 2. And that just requires a new game every single time when you increase the difficulty. You have the ability of stacking more abilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for Diablo 3, you have an ability with your main 4 buttons. But in Diablo 2, you're limited to left mouse click and right mouse click. And your left mm-hmm. mouse click most likely is going to be your normal attack.
Right.
So you don't gas your mana. And so pretty much it's like one ability, keyed up to like even if like you can hotkey your abilities to 1, 2, 3, and 4, but pressing 1, 2, 3, and 4 doesn't necessarily activate those abilities. It makes that ability the one that can be activated upon pressing the right mouse button. Right. So if I say like Ice Storm and I'm keying that to 4, if I were to press 4, that doesn't actually activate Ice Storm. That just means Ice Storm is the current standby ability that will happen if I right click. So, you know, there's Diablo 3 took Diablo 2 and added some things that were definitely improvements. I think where Diablo 3 kind of faltered a little bit was the story, which is its own discussion. But I don't think there has been a popular dungeon crawler sort of multiplayer slash 'em up, beat 'em up RPG game in the past 3 years that has been successful.
Mm-hmm.
There has been attempts at it. There was another game that I mentioned, Grim Hollow, which I have heard it referred to as what Diablo 3 should have been.
I haven't seen that one. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's got DLC and everything. For the studio and for the budget that they spent on it, it was successful. It was successful. But if like Blizzard were to do a Diablo version of what Grim Hollow was, they would need a level of success way beyond what Grim Hollow ever reached. Grim Hollow was successful enough to where they have several different DLCs, and the majority of them I think are pretty good. You can check them out. I bought Grim Hollow and I played it for probably about 10 hours, and it wasn't a game for me, unless I was playing with somebody. So more it's like it wasn't a single player solo game. But like aside from some of these little indie smaller level games, albeit without as much of like a marketing budget. I don't remember any hard-hitting dungeon crawler games, so I don't think a true Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 would be successful, which is why we're getting something like Midnight Suns with, ironically, a worse game system with the cards and everything. But I think that's why we're getting Midnight Suns rather than a new Ultimate Alliance 3. It does also seem like Midnight Suns is going more of the creepier vibe, too. Right? Like, Lilith is a villain.
Mm-hmm.
Who, I would argue, by the way, Lilith should not be a villain of anything. Lilith is a villain in an old, old religion where...
Yeah.
Did we talk about this? I felt like we talked about this on this podcast before.
Not with me. I could talk to you about friggin' Lilith and all of that shit all day long.
I don't think we did. Yeah.
So for those of our listeners who know of the name Lilith but don't know necessarily where it comes from, I love researching mythologies and stuff. So this is just kind of what you get from 2 hours of video watching on YouTube. So whatever. Lilith mainly comes from a Jewish myth. You can find in some renditions of Genesis, and Lilith was considered to be the first wife of Adam. This is just where Lilith, the character, comes from, right? And then kind of how she gets distributed to other platforms and media is kind of weird. But Lilith was the first wife of Adam. If you read Genesis chapter 1 and 2, there's a little bit of inconsistency when it comes with the creation of man and the creation of the woman. Like I think in Genesis 2, a rib is taken from Adam and it's turned into Eve.
Mm-hmm.
But in chapter 1, creating men, which thus resulted in Adam, was done in a plural sense, meaning that there was probably more than one person that was created. But there seems to be kind of like a gap in the information. Now, part of that could just be that it's a really, really, really old book. And it's lost in the thousands of translations that have come before it even landed in English. But the Jewish myth is that that reason was because Lilith was born at the same time as Adam. And she, this is the actual myth, okay? She gets kicked out of Eden, and she is turned into kind of like a devilish persona. Because she wanted to have sex on top of Adam. And Adam cried to God and was like, I don't want her to be on top. And then God said, you're going to have sex on bottom. Otherwise, we will expel you from Eden. And she's just like, I don't know what to think about this. No. Okay. You are now the devil, like the female version of the devil personified. That's where she comes from. And then kind of other myths were developed in medieval times about how she would have women be miscarriages, that she would give women miscarriages. She would be responsible for children disappearing into the night, things like that.
She also has, there's a ton of stuff that follows her around being like weird vampire shit.
Yeah, like she's thrown into vampire lore. She's considered to be a temptress and a seductress. All of this is just really unfair because she just wanted to like just to ride the cowboy, like just that's all she wanted.
That's all men ask for these days.
Yes, exactly. Yep,
exactly.
So now for her to be turned into a villain, right? And she's a villain in almost everything, from like everything in, I almost want to say as obscure as Persona, but Persona is no longer obscure anymore. But like she's considered to be a villain in everything. So Midnight Suns, Lilith is a villain. So I got problems with that.
It was the same in Supernatural, right? Doesn't she show up in the first few seasons?
She seems to be a villain in like everything during like today's media. Like I don't know. I don't know, maybe Good Omens she wasn't a villain.
I didn't watch Good Omens. I didn't watch Supernatural. I mean, I watched up to season 3 of Supernatural, and that's it.
It was Lucifer that she wasn't a villain. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't make it that far in Lucifer yet.
Sabrina. I think she's in Sabrina.
Is she?
The Netflix Sabrina.
Yeah.
Wasn't it like Supernatural season 3 or so? The little girl was Lilith, and they were like, that's what I was trying to recall. I didn't see all of Supernatural.
Yeah, there's renditions of her. The thing is, because she's not necessary, like she's only a myth even in the Jewish religion. Like she's not even in canonical Jewish religions. Even like depending on what synagogue you go to, like she's not necessarily taught as what I've been able to learn. But it's kind of because she is a character from mythology that's kind of wrapped up in mystery and with only a vague association of evil, and that association is not fully defined. People love pulling from mythologies and using them in today's media. And so they will take Lilith because the name Lilith invokes a feeling of like some, you know, evil character. And so that's just where Lilith comes from. So the villain of Midnight Suns is Lilith. I don't know where I was going to go with this thought, but that's kind of where she comes from.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's that. But Midnight Suns is coming out March 2022. Visit midnightsuns.com for details or at Midnight Suns on Facebook, Instagram, Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I was literally reading off the ad.
When does that game release?
March 2022.
Okay, sorry.
Yep.
You said that and I was not paying attention.
No, it's all good. Okay, so there's that. What other thing? Should I update you guys on Epic Games and MLK and all that stuff?
Yeah, buddy.
All right. So last time we left off on the story, Epic Games was going to do a Fortnite event. And I had questions about it. The event was kind of like a museum of sorts of MLK and the civil rights movement. And it was going to be free. And when you go through it and you complete the museum just by going through the museum and looking at videos and checking out pictures and text and everything, you walk out with not necessarily like a new character skin, but you walk out with, I guess, like a spray paint tag. You can like tag your symbol on stuff. And just a couple of like minor rewards. No, MLK is not a playable character in Fortnite who can get shot every single game.
Jesus.
So first of all, that was my first criticism. They did not announce this super well, because when they're like MLK and Fortnite, I was like, okay, so a guy who actually gets shot for civil rights, he's going to be a character in Fortnite.
That's where my brain went to, man. Right. You're not the only one.
Right. So they're
weird about Fortnite. Like, do they have license to any of the characters that they use?
Oh, they do. They do. It's a massive corporation. They make deals and stuff. Actually, that comes in to bite them in the ass for this event. So here's the thing. Fortnite caters mostly to young kids. I'm talking middle school, high school, some college. And it is
almost 40-year-old ex.
Really, he plays Fortnite? There's nothing wrong if you like... There's absolutely nothing wrong with someone liking something meant for a different age group than them.
Right. And I wouldn't have a problem with it, but, like, he only plays it because he wants to stream it. I'm just like, you're not going to make money. You're too old.
Yeah. There are some limits. I mean, I feel like if an 80-year-old grandmother was playing Fortnite and then she was actually really good at it and she would teabag her like victims, that would earn plenty of money, right? But you're kind of like in the middle of just mediocrity when you're like a 40-year-old man.
Well, a lot of children are trying to stream it too, and it just like it doesn't, I don't know. I don't see the game as very, I don't know, fun to me, but
yeah, it's It's not very fun. I played it probably like a month just to see what it was about. It's got fun elements. Otherwise, kids wouldn't be playing it. So I'm not bagging on kids' taste nowadays. It's just not my thing. But one of the things about Fortnite is its wackiness. Mm-hmm. Because literally, like, Shang-Chi, when did that movie come out?
Today.
There's already a Fortnite skin.
Oh, of course there is.
Well, yeah, I mean, the character has been out in the Marvel Universe for a while, but the movie just came out. It was supposed to be out a year ago, though.
Right. But the movie just came out today, and there's already a Fortnite skin. There have been, Street Fighter, DC, Rick and Morty. All these characters. And these skins aren't cheap, too. Fortnite is free. But if you want to buy a character skin, that's going to cost you anywhere from $15 to $30. Mm-hmm. And earning the currency to gain a skin is very, very slow. So there is very little room for seriousness in Fortnite. Mm-hmm. And so with this MLK event, an event that's meant to be taken seriously, you're not going to get kids to sit still in the middle of a history class when you give them full reign to do anything. Mm-hmm. So Epic has tried to enforce some, I guess, reverence by disabling emotes and by disabling certain actions. It's not an area where you can shoot people and stuff. But there were ways to circumvent it. There are TikTok videos of people in their funky skin, like whatever character that they're trying to portray, they go up to a display case where there is like a clip of Martin Luther King giving a serious talk, and then they do the Fortnite dance in front of it, right?
Oh, God.
And it's like, why did we expect... I mean, like, and this isn't even like a bag on kids. Kids are going to be kids, right?
What they're going to do, they don't understand...
Yeah, they don't understand. So this isn't even really like, come on, kids, be respectful. This is a hit on Epic. What the hell did you expect was going to happen? And here's the thing. They were doing it just for good publicity. That's all where this is coming from. Make no mistake about it. Because Martin Luther King was not the only civil rights activist. As I mentioned before, Malcolm X was an awesome, just an amazing individual who did a lot of stuff with the Black Panthers. Mm-hmm. But because the government wanted to basically kind of like whitewash Martin Luther King and his words and everything, we only get the I Have a Dream speech and a couple of other things. And we just talk a little bit about the civil rights movement, and that's all it is. And groups like the Black Panthers and Malcolm X are incredibly villainized when they were doing things to aid the Black community in ways that we never learned about in school, because they were villainized by the government and by society in general at that time. So when society thought, okay, well, this is actually going to happen, we're going to actually be giving people the rights, we have to take this whole movement and break it down to, does it make us look so shitty? So we're going to talk about like the really good points of Martin Luther King, because Malcolm X did not hold anything back. Neither did Martin Luther King, but he had some speeches that were more palpable than others.
Right.
And so if they wanted to do like a civil rights movement thing, they could have included all these other people that had a part in it. But they focused on MLK. And I'm pretty positive because, A, that's the one that everyone knows. And MLK also has a holiday named after him, too. And not saying that he didn't do very much. He did a whole lot. But if you're going to do a civil rights thing in an event to really educate people on that movement, there are so many other sources you could be pulling from. This leads me to believe that they were also only going for good publicity, right? One of my other questions was, if money is going into this, if people have to pay money to do this, where is this money going to?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the event is free. Okay, mm-hmm. So that's a plus. But there was another reason why I think this was only for good publicity and not like an altruistic thing, was the fact that they were still held to some contracts. that prevented them from disabling certain emotes that were contractually obligating Epic to keep them active at all times. One of these emotes was from a DC event, Catwoman. Mm. She had an emote where you crack a whip.
Oh no.
Yes, you crack a whip, and Epic contractually could not disable that. I'm not sure if they could not, or they couldn't have gone to Warner Brothers and be like, listen, I know you want us to keep these active 100% of the time, but we're going to have an MLK event and we don't want the whip cracking emo to be active then. There are mechanics in contract law that allow you to reframe contracts when new conditions arise.
Right.
So you get these kids that are just like, hey, check this out. And they think it's really funny to crack a whip at Martin Luther King's face.
Kids that are, you know, trolls or whatever that just want to do it just so they get reaction and they get people who, you know, are pissed off about it just because they're getting attention. So that's another thing. They're going to do it because they think they're being funny, but really it's super insensitive.
It's incredibly insensitive. And this is not the kid's fault. I do think that, well, to a degree, yeah, it is. Yeah. I can't say it's 100% of the kid's fault because they're dumbass kids.
Right. And a part of it is, you know, lack of education, lack of understanding. You know, they've never had to deal with that kind of situation. So this is not something that they feel is it's funny to them because they don't know better, I guess. I don't know.
Right. And I mean, like, we can think of examples in our own time. I can think of times in high school where, like, there are flat out slurs mm-hmm. that me and my friends would use and we thought was funny. Mm-hmm. But because we were kids, we didn't know any better. And now that I'm like an actual person, because let's get something straight. When you're in your teens, and I don't know if we have teen listeners or not, this is not meant to be an insult to you whatsoever. This is to make you hopeful for the future because life gets good after your teens. But you're not even a human when you're in your teens. You're not a personality. You are a carbon copy of everyone around you. Mm-hmm. Even if you consider yourself a loner.
And even then, that doesn't even change until you're like in your late 20s.
Yeah.
Carbon copy well, like most people, well into their 30s.
You're not mm-hmm. finished. You're not finished developing mentally until 25, 26.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
So, like, you're not even a person at 14, 15, which is like the age group that Fortnite's aimed after. Mm-hmm. Right. So back to the whole like kids acting out on the MLK thing. Okay. Yeah. To some degree, you can like scold these kids, but that's not going to solve the problem. The problem is Epic. Epic right. thought that they can get away with this. Not necessarily get away, but they can generate free publicity because they do some shitty monetization practices.
They just throw shit out there so they can make more money.
Yeah,
it's a little biased to Fortnite. I kind of fucking hate that game.
Yeah. It really makes me dislike Epic more. Epic has had kind of expensive social costs. Their Epic Game Store was kind of like a problem. Their business dealings with Tencent, which is a Chinese company, has been latched onto. Fortnite and their monetization schemes. Their whole debacle with like suing Apple and stuff, right? And so they're trying to generate good publicity because even though that is a cost now, they're hoping the good publicity pans out in the future because people's like opinions will soften towards them. Because Epic Games is now a permanent player; they're not going anywhere. They're looking at the long term game at this point, and the MLK was a step for a long-term game. It has gotten to the point where like Epic Games has handled this so poorly. Bernice King, Martin Luther King's daughter, who is the head of the Martin Luther King Foundation with her family, has actually come out with an open statement. I should have the statement in front of me so I can read it. But while I am doing this, you're going to hear me rapidly click-clacking away on my keyboard.
But yeah, so she's come out and she essentially said, we don't have any connection with this at all. We were not even.
Of course not.
We were not even consulted.
Like, this isn't the first time that it has happened. Just with this specific game, not even Epic in general. Like, the Epic does this shit all the time. And it's happened with other games, I feel like. That they just kind of start using something and they don't reach out to all the people who would possibly be affected by it, I guess, is what I was saying.
Yeah. So here we go. Bernice King, you can follow her at Bernice King on Twitter. She said, decisions around licensing my father's intellectual property are outside of my personal purview. And then she quote tweets the Martin Luther King Jr. Center and says, the King Center does not license Dr. King's intellectual property and therefore was not involved in any decisions concerning the endeavor with Time Incorporated and PlayStation/Fortnite. These licensing decisions are made by Intellectual Properties Management, IPM, which is really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, albeit the estate of Martin Luther King Jr. is controlled by Bernice King and her two brothers, Dexter King and Martin Luther King III. And they have been at odds with one another several times about how their father's legacy and intellectual property can be used. And it's pretty obvious, too. Like, they kind of fight over it. So, basically, like a segment, like, one of the siblings wanted to monetize it, and therefore they went through Epic Games and stuff and Time Magazine to create this event. And the Martin Luther King Jr. Center and the other siblings were not involved in it because they don't have control over the intellectual property. So when you think about that, the fact that Martin Luther King's own words are not even owned by all of his family, they're owned by intellectual property conglomerates, kind of says a lot, I think. And so the more you read about like the situation and with MLK, the more it really makes you wonder, like, it just kind of reeks in like alternate motivations, which all equates right. to money.
Yeah.
Again, I wait to hear. I have not heard very much from the Black community about this event in particular. I'm just reading the news as it comes up. So it's just kind of an ugly thing. Ugly thing.
Yeah, you would hope for something like that it wouldn't be an ugly thing, but I don't know how you do that just well with a game like Fortnite where it's all about shooting people.
Yeah, I don't right. think you can do that with Fortnite. But yeah, any other news? How's everyone? What other news has caught you guys' eye?
So September 9th, which is next Thursday, Sony's doing a showcase for PlayStation. So they said expect about 40 minutes for the future of PS5 stuff. So here's hoping for some good reveals.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Panda Pat, how about you?
No. I mean, I have some situations that happened that I'm annoyed about, but it's not news. It's just me being grumpy pants.
Oh, okay. Anything games related?
Well, yeah, but it's another point. No, not specifically. No.
I got something that's not necessarily game related, but there was a game way back in the 90s. Wheel of Time trailer has come out. This isn't game related, everybody, so I apologize. Wheel of Time has come out with a trailer. It's going to be streamed on Amazon. That's all the news I'm going to get to, but I have to relate this to games somehow. But there was a Wheel of Time game back in the late 90s. It was a first-person shooter.
Ooh.
Where, like, one of the concepts of Wheel of Time was how magic is used. Magic can be used in many different ways. Magic users can utilize one of three types of magical artifacts. The third type was called a Tarangreal. And a Tarangreal, what they would do is they would have like a spell associated with the item. And they would be activated in a plethora of ways. One of those ways could be you can just pick it up and you can even literally just like tap a certain part of it and it activates and does whatever. So they came up with a first person shooter game where the weapons you collect were these Tarangreal and you would fire spells at each other. And that was the first person shooter game from the late 90s. It is impossible to get running because it was a limited release, small company, small studio that did it. And it kind of just disappeared from existence. Copies of this game still exist, but you have to do some major tinkering with it to get it to even function correctly. But I figured if I want to talk about Wheel of Time, I should talk about that video game. But Wheel of Time trailer got released.
So okay. So I don't want to like totally go off of gaming, but Wheel of Time is obviously based off of a book.
Yes.
Is the book also called Wheel of Time?
Yes. The series is called Wheel of Time. There's 14 books, each one averaging 826 pages.
Oh, so that sounds about right. Are they YA though?
No, they're not. Well, no, I wouldn't consider them YA.
Okay.
But they kind of teeter on that border between adult and YA.
Okay. So like Harry Potter grew up with its readers. So kind of maybe like end Harry Potter where there's actual death. No.
So yeah, Wheel of Time is kind of like end Harry Potter.
Oh, okay. What about Terry Brooks?
Very similar to Terry Brooks.
Okay. I'm there
with more contemporary, Brandon Sanderson. Mistborn. No.
I'm like Dresden Files and Anita Blake series.
Yeah, there's a really, if Dakota is listening to this, he's screaming at the podcast right now. Brandon Sanderson is probably the biggest name in fantasy right now. The series Wheel of Time is so long that the author died before he can finish it, and Brandon Sanderson wrapped it up.
Oh, okay.
Brandon Sanderson has also said that Wheel of Time inspired him to get into fantasy. So to finish his actual favorite fantasy book was...
So how did he get the permission to finish it and it actually be canon?
So, what happened was Robert Jordan...
Has nothing to do with games.
Yeah, I know it has nothing to do with games. I talked about a Wheel of Time game, okay? So we can talk about this subject.
Okay.
So
loopholes.
Yeah, so Wheel of Time, the first book was published in 1990.
Woo! That's the year I was born.
And it was called Eye of the World. And he would release a book like every 2 or 3 years. And right around when he got to book like 10, he decided to take a break from it and he wrote like a prologue book, which for anyone who may be considering reading the books, don't read the prologue book first. That's a mistake. Don't read the prologue book first.
I felt that way with the Resident Evil novels.
Yeah. It's meant to be read after a certain point in the series. So you don't want to read the prologue book because it will spoil like a good portion of the series in like books 7, 8, and 9. So don't do that. But so he took a break from it. And then he was writing book 11 when he came out with an announcement in 2007 or 2008. Maybe it was 2006. So it was like 16 years. He was writing book 11. And he said that he was very sick and that there is a chance that he could pass. But he's got plans to have it finished and everything was looking hopeful. But a couple years later, after he released Book 11, Book 11 got released in 2006, he passed away. So there was kind of a gap for about 4 years. And what happened was his wife, who controlled his estate and Tor Books, had not necessarily a manuscript, but an outline of his final book. He basically didn't work on the final book, which would have been Book 12. He wrote kind of like an outline in short form of what he wanted to happen. Because to actually go through the editing process and correct that was going to take too long, and he wasn't sure if he was going to make it, and he wouldn't have. So they had his outline, and his wife and Tor Books decided to go through a list of authors to see who would be best equipped to complete the series, and they came to Brandon Sanderson, and they struck a deal with him. Brandon Sanderson was like, "This is really weird because this got me into fantasy writing, and you're asking me to finish the series." So Brandon Sanderson did so on a couple of conditions. One of the conditions was, he's like, "I can't write in Jordan style. It needs to be my style. You need to trust me that I will do the series justice." So the final books of Wheel of Time read like Brandon Sanderson's work. Like, everything from the dialogue descriptors to the way how things are described, everything's different. It's definitely a Brandon Sanderson book. Mm-hmm. The other condition was that the outline was too long for him to do in a single book. He's like, "Robert Jordan may have been able to do this in a single book." He's like, "I can't." Mm-hmm. "So I need 3 books. And so he did it in 3 books. So Brandon Sanderson wrote the final 3 books in the series, and all those books are just awesome.
Mm.
So that's Wheel of Time.
I like that.
So yeah, there's that. Wheel of Time came out. And do I have anything for D&D for our D&D listeners? I don't. I'm sorry, D&D listeners.
You don't have any D&D thing?
There is.
You had one job, Dungeon Master Mike.
Michelle's over here trying to tickle me as I'm trying to record.
Get him, Michelle! Get him!
Make him tap out.
Oh, yeah. She was like, she was actually trying to tickle my nips, is what she was doing. Ooh. I'm talking about Wheel of Time.
I think that means you're supposed to be getting off the podcast, I think, is what she's trying to tell you.
I do have one piece of news, I guess. Satine Phoenix. She is a very famous individual in the Dungeons and Dragons kind of scene. Her and her husband, Jameson Stone, they're both like models. They both do Dungeons and Dragons events. They're currently at PAX West right now, Penny Arcade Expo. And they are currently having an event in South Carolina at the end of September, where you are going to basically meet up and play games with them, but it's going to cost you $4,000.
Oh, geez.
And I really wanted to go. I don't have the cash for that, so I can't justify it. That's all I have for these Dungeons and Dragons. If you want to look them up, it's called Satine Phoenix is Satine, and then Phoenix. Phoenix campaign. Let's see. Where's her Twitter? Here we go. She has is it called Lost Lorne? No, it's not Lost Lorne. Sorry, I'm trying to find it. Yeah, it's called, okay, here it is. It's called Satine's Quest. It's happening over with Jason Charles Miller, who I was on a panel with. He did a lot of the music for Critical Role in its first season. He is a wonderful musician. He will be working with Satine Phoenix and her husband, Jameson Stone,
They will be doing a Dungeons and Dragons adventure at the Wentworth Mansion, January 2022, not September, January 2022. Four nights at the Wentworth Mansion in South Carolina, where it's basically a luxury estate. They rented out the entire place to play D&D. And so if you've got the extra money, I know it would be worth it. I do not have the extra money, unfortunately. But they're doing that. So that's some good old news. What else? Oh yeah. Also, Pathfinder, Wrath of the Righteous. For those of you who don't know what Pathfinder is, that is D&D adjacent. It is sometimes considered to be D&D 3.75. The new Pathfinder video game is out. I played Pathfinder Kingmaker, which was a Kickstarter event that resulted in what I thought was a pretty good game. I didn't finish it because I ended up spending like 90 hours on it, and I couldn't tell if I was getting close to being done. And I kind of just completely burnt out. So I kind of looked at the remainder of the story and turned out I was pretty close. But Kingmaker was a really, really awesome game. I plan to get Pathfinder, the Path of the Righteous, or Wrath of the Righteous. Pathfinder Wrath of the Righteous. It is the newest game. It incorporates changes into Kingmaker. Everything from turn-based gameplay to more classes, more subclasses, if you want to play different things. There is like 200 class and subclass combinations for the different types of characters that you want to make, as well as a plethora of other races and like heritage options that you may have. And it is considered to be the biggest RPG right now on Steam. Consider it to be an epic level game, and it is going to probably take you 100 plus hours to finish. That's the last piece of news I got.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the games that we're playing now. Kind of Pat, what are you playing?
Okay, so someone brought up Gears, and that usually triggers me, and then I have to fucking play Gears. like all you need to do is be like, oh yeah, Gears, blah, 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 blah. And then I'm into it, and I'm like, fuck! So instead of playing Resident Evil, which is funny, because I just bought 7, Biohazard, and then I bought Village. I also bought the Mass Effect Legendary, and I bought, what was the other game I bought? I know this. What is the other game I bought? So I bought, Modern Warfare. Call of Duty Modern Warfare. I was going to get the new one, Cold War, but I was told that the other one is better. So my issue earlier is that I went to Best Buy to get my stereo and my car's working. I went to Best Buy to get FM transmitter, and I ended up buying games. They had none of the games I wanted, so these were the ones that they offered. And anyways, so I bought all of those, and now I'm playing Gears. Like, I spent like $200 on shit, and now I'm playing Gears that I own like 6 or 7 copies of, number one at least. But I was also at the World's Game Store that we have here in Utah, and they have the freaking Adam Phoenix Cog Medal that I really, really want.
What was that?
When you listen to me on my stream of Gears, I say it the same way. Cog Medal. Cog Medal.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, Cog Medal.
That's very different than Cock Medal.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like she said.
Okay, I'm sorry. I swear that's what you said.
No, that's the best part about my streaming, is that I'm going to say it like that over and over and over again. And I'm like, people can't, like, I mean, I hear it and I try to ignore it. Well, I don't even try to ignore it. It's just, I mean, cog. Cog is a normal word for me.
Well, yeah, cog, yes. Unfortunately, it just sounds very different. And I'm sorry, that's where my mind went. Cog Metal. Okay, Cog Metal.
Yeah. So I've been playing Gears, and I'm streaming it. I'm going to try to stream the whole game and get it all posted on our page, on our YouTubes. I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Go. Like, I'm on it every day again, which has been a long time since I've done that. Ever since the Eevee event.
Yeah, we are, Michelle and I, we're starting to get back into it. The problem is my phone dies at, like, it will only last an hour.
If I play Pokemon Go. I was only lasting about, 3 hours, so I finally went to Verizon and was like, I need a new phone.
Yeah, we got to get new phones. That's the only reason why I haven't been on Pokemon Go as much, is the battery life.
Side question, what service do you go through?
Verizon.
Oh, okay. They're having a deal right now for your trade-ins, just so you know.
Oh, okay. Then I'll take a look at that.
Which is kind of when they're, well, not really. I just went in there on a whim, and then they told me that they're having a deal for trade-ins. Mine might be a little bit different because I had to pull myself off the Nerd Store account. Anyways, nothing to do with the podcast. Sorry. I will be starting the other games that I bought soon, but I think I'm going to try to get through Gears again, you know, because I got to do that, once in a while. Although I've replayed the first one so many times that I should not have as much of a problem as I do, but I do. I just shoot walls. It's terrible. Anyways, I've had too much to drink, so I'm rambling.
Okay. Captain Platinum.
All right, what's this review we're going to go? It has been a busy, busy week. So I haven't done much gaming, but I can't remember if last time I think I finished Lego Harry Potter 5 through 7 last time. Still working on the Platinum for that. I've got I got to replay. I've done the year 5. Now I got to do 6, 7, and then they call 7 part 2, 8. So I've got to finish those up. So maybe I'll get through that this holiday weekend. Been playing Pokemon Go. I actually finished the last event with in the last hour. I had to do the raid in under, 60 seconds? You had to complete a raid in under 60 seconds. I finally got that one done. Finally, a one-star raid showed up, so I was able to knock that out.
Nice. I'm having a hard time finding people to Pokemon Go with me, so I'm going to send you a thing now.
Sweet. Yeah, I don't have too many friends. I'm a pretty good gifter, though. I play pretty much just in the morning, and then
I'm a terrible gifter, but I worked the arts festival this last weekend, so I was downtown, which, means I have all of the stuff right now.
You have all the things.
I have all the things.
On top of that, still playing Galaxy of Heroes. The requirements are out for Lord Vader, which is... Anakin before he becomes Darth Vader. It's after he's, gone to the dark side. And, when he killed Yinglings.
Yinglings? I like that.
The East Coaster didn't even chuckle at that. It had to force it. Yeah, Yingling, man, it's like the only note to get that over. And, over in PA area. It's been a rough week in the game, though. They took away the conquest mode, which they had, which was a ton of fun. Because they gave us these awesome discs and everything to make the game super OP. And now they've made it the grind love area of the game. And that's how they're introducing the newer characters, it seems, that aren't Galactic Legends. So they've added Maul, not Darth Maul, but Maul. So Clone Wars, season 7, Maul type, him with the robotic legs and everything. And he's longer Sith. That's why he's not Darth Maul. He's Maul. Cause he's unassigned force user now after, and you showed him, and he showed up in Solo, right? So same type of time frame where he's really not a Sith anymore. He may have a lightsaber, but I don't believe he aligns with the Sith anymore.
Okay, so is that a choice thing, or is that?
I haven't watched Clone Wars, so I don't know fully what happened to him after. So,
because I know someone who has big issues with people who, would be, what is it, like yellow saber people who are not Jedi or Sith. I don't remember the name.
Yeah, they were calling them like Gray Jedi or Neutral Jedi.
Luke absolutely hates Gray Jedi.
That would be the person that I was referring to. I brought that up too. I'm all like, I'm gonna orange lightsaber it up, and he's like, ugh, Gray Jedi.
Let me see real quick. I'm gonna pull up my thing here, and I'm gonna go with. What are they calling them now? Is it unaligned force user? So they put in the game, which I think goes a lot with lore. It's Supreme Leader Kylo Ren, Rey Jedi training, Kylo Ren on mask, Commander Luke Skywalker, because he wasn't a Jedi yet. There, he's a rebel. Kylo Ren, Asajj Ventress, Rey Scavenger, Ahsoka Tano Fulcrum, Visa Smar, Commander Ahsoka Tano, Maul, and Rey. You know, they say Rey is all the Jedi, but she doesn't, I believe, side with just the Jedi, right? And that's kind of the whole part of the sequel trilogy, right?
Mm-hmm. Which people are also not happy about.
Yeah. So yeah, they took Conquest away for like 6 weeks to revamp it. So we've had six events of this. So they dropped the seventh one. It was out for less than 5 hours. It was so buggy they had to pull the event, and it's a 2 week long event. Absolutely. So, oh man, people were showing the dumpster fire for like the new Conquest mode emoji going up. It's just been rough. Like several people have left the game because the other thing they did is they nerfed Darth Vader. He used to throw his culling blade for like 100k damage. Now he might do like 10k damage. So people are like, oh, I tickled him with a feather as Lord Vader with a culling blade. So they pretty much made it that the Galactic Legends right now, there's five of them, soon six with Lord Vader coming. Basically, you need a GL to beat a GL. And that's what they said they want in the game. They've revamped, like Toons were ignoring defense and they didn't like that. So they've made some changes to a lot of counters to Galactic Legends, and it's just like really upset a lot of people. So I thought EA/Capital Games was doing really good this year, and then this happened, and everyone's like, the great nerf of 2021, and the devs are like, just, we've got some good stuff coming, you guys just have to trust us. And we're just like, we don't know what else to do, man. Like, this is kind of crappy now. So we'll see what goes on there.
They always say that. Like, World of Warcraft made that argument where they were like, so if anyone doesn't know very much about what's going on with World of Warcraft, they lost a huge batch of players because the newest expansion, Shadowlands, apparently had so many problems with it. And Final Fantasy XIV just looks really, really good and shiny and tasty. And everyone has gone to Final Fantasy XIV. And it took an entire exodus for the Shadowlands developers in World of Warcraft to be to like finally quote unquote pull the ripcord and like reverse a lot of the damage that this particular expansion did. But before that happened, what they had a habit of doing with the past like three expansions was they would introduce mechanics that were not fun, and they would say, hey, listen, stick with it, trust us, it's going to be fun, we got some things coming down the line. But then it would be like a year, and then people were like, it's still not fun, are you going to get rid of it? No, we got another thing coming down the line. And then another year happens, are you going to get rid of it? No, we have another expansion, and you won't have to worry about these things anymore. And they did that three times. And then this time, this happened 2 years ahead of schedule, where they said, you know, we have faith in these systems, and you have to trust us that we've got things coming that we are sure you will be excited for, but we can pull the ripcord anytime to eliminate stuff. And so many people have left World of Warcraft that now the people that do log in make it a point to chant, pull the ripcord as a meme and a chant for the developers to actually delete these types of systems and these types of changes. And then finally they're like, well, we lost so many players, you might as well pull the ripcord right now. So 2 years ahead of schedule, they just cleaned everything out. And they're like, okay, you don't have to deal with these types of changes anymore. So it sounds like the same thing's kind of happening with EA. It's like they're kind of asking you, the players, trust us that we have these things coming down the line. But down the line can mean a month or it can mean a year. As long as it gets your quote-unquote engagement and your money, they're happy. They don't care. That's kind of what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. And it's Capital Games, right? They're the subsidiary. EA is the overarching because they own the rights to Star Wars. And right now there's no other competition either for a Star Wars mobile game that I know of. So if you want to play a Star Wars mobile game, you're kind of going for this, right? Mm-hmm. And people are now are like, well, go play Marvel Future Revolution. I think it's an MMO, that mobile MMO that just came out. And I haven't looked into it because I'm like, I really don't need another game to play right now. But yeah, it's, I get game balance, all this, and they want Galactic Legends to be the cream of the crop, but the power creep just keeps coming. I've invested time and energy into some tunes from 5 years ago, you know, Ewoks and Jawas, and they're a crap faction now. So they just sit on the sideline. And like the guy I'm facing in Grand Arena today, the dude has a focused roster because they joined the game late, it seems. And so they don't have GP bloat, but I'm tagged against them. So they have 3 Galactic Legends. I have 2. But they have some discrepancies coming in their roster, too. They don't have sometimes as breadth of a roster as I have. So they're, and depending on what they place on defense and what I use for offense, I can maybe win. But it's just kind of it's becoming unfun sometimes. Like so right now, sometimes there's a couple of game modes that are a chore, and Conquest, they're like, we want you to play this game mode longer. And it was one of those where like a few people ruin it for everybody else. Cause some people were shotgunning the mode and that's what they didn't want. So you can buy crystals, you know, the in-game currency for real money and, you know, refresh nodes and do this. So like one of the streamers, one of the biggest streamers for the game, he's like, I used to sit down and do this with you guys in like 6 to 8 hours in one day and be basically done. He's like, I can't do that anymore because of the way they've made the energy refresh, the cost of each ticket, the way they did the feats now. He's going to lose so much money if he tries to do it with crystals. And that's what they wanted. And they're like, well, we want you to play this game mode more. And so they've made some of the daily challenges things that come up. There's like a separatist event that comes up like once every 4 weeks or so. If you 3-starred one of those battle tiers now, you can sim that, which should have been in, you know, 1 or 2 years ago. They're finally like, we're going to make those simmable, which is a good thing, but we're only doing it because we want you to play this other game mode. That's where we want you focusing your time and money now, which is good and bad to me, right? It's they're getting their expectations out there, but when I'm like, I can only play this game mode for a few minutes without recharging. And if I want to get Maul, it's going to be, you have to do 3 events and get the max crate. And we feel they don't want everybody getting the max crate easily. So that we're sure the whales have like cried that, you know, some people were easily getting the newer tunes at high level and they, you know, but again, I don't know what goes on behind the scenes, just opinion. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, cool. I mean, the game's okay. It's exciting to get a few more characters, but we haven't really had many new characters in the game this year either. We've got the Bad Batch characters, which I haven't watched Bad Batch, so I don't know much about them. We got Commander Ahsoka Tano. We've got Jedi Master Kenobi, and now we're getting Lord Vader. So that's the Episode 3 versions of those characters, which is going to take me forever to get Luke, or those two. Sorry, I'm done with Luke almost. I've just got to finish his ultimate ability. Kenobi was going to be next, but they added the Executor. Oh, that was the other thing. They gave Admiral Piet his ship from Episode 5, the Executor, and it was getting beat too easily the first day, so they nerfed it. Because they were like this ship is going to be so hard for people to beat. Like, if you put this on defense, good luck. Like, your opponent's going to be like, oh man, this sucks. And people were beating it, so they came out and nerfed it. Because it didn't perform as they expected within like the first day, like within 24 hours already, like, oh, this isn't going as we expected. Prepare for a nerf to income for this thing. And yeah, so they did. So I get it that they're trying to define metas, but it's also painful, right? For someone like me who's been playing almost since day one to not be able to climb in certain areas. it's going to happen, but it's also the people who pay the money. That's what they want, right? They're trying to get people to spend money on their mobile game. And it's a, like, I think a $2 billion mobile game or something ridiculous. They make tons of money.
That's a crazy big game.
Yeah.
Like, I know you played it, but like, I don't know anyone else that plays it except for Luke, Ryan, you. I guess I just didn't realize it was that success. I mean, it's EA.
Yeah, Ryan quit playing it. A lot of the guys at work quit playing it. I kind of just hang out still for my guild, but we just lost someone today. He said, no longer any fun, I'm out. But then we also had someone come back after 3 years being like, hey guys, I want to come back. So
I did that with the few mobile games, Lords Mobile, that I did. I left for a year and then went back.
Yeah.
So terrible.
Yeah, so that's just been everybody's complaint this week, is the great nerfs. Like, Thrawn can't, you know, Thrawn was one of the most accessible tunes after you got your Phoenix going. You got Thrawn. Thrawn could fracture, which meant the dude couldn't move until Thrawn's next turn. That's now gone. Well, he can do it to anybody but a GL. If he does it to a GL, it doesn't stop him. It does something else. But so they took all the counters to GLs, basically, and nerfed all of them. So a lot of people are upset about that. At least they gave us a little bit of a warning that it was coming, but still, it's not an easy pill to swallow after you've been doing something for, like, you know, over a year or so, and then you're like, oh, that doesn't work, and you're like, got to retrain yourself. But yeah, what have you been playing, Dungeon Master Mac?
So, I need your guys' help in deciding something. So I played Diablo 2, classic Diablo 2. I don't think I'm going to get into Diablo 2 Resurrected. I don't think it's for me.
That's right. We were going to play together, and we're going to get that mod that I got
to
get.
Yes. Yeah, so that's kind of what I want to get to. I think my time in playing Diablo 2 has come to an end. I have not finished the game in Diablo 2. I have since... I've got to Act 3, but I'm realizing, like, wasn't having really very much fun. I got to the end of Act 2, and I got to the final boss of Act 2, and I kind of got stuck into an unwinnable position. For people who have not played Diablo 2, the end of Act 2, you essentially drop down into a single room where it's you and the boss one-on-one. Which is very odd, because special enemies in Diablo 1 and 2 are accompanied with a mass amount of enemies and usually places for you to hide and to kind of like take people out a little bit at a time so that you eventually could go like one-on-one with the boss and take them down pretty quick. But the boss has certain abilities that slows you down, makes it very hard for you to attack and to succeed in combat. And I ended up dying. I also dropped all of my gold there. And so when you die, all your equipment is stuck in that boss room. All of your gold is stuck in that boss room, so you can't necessarily buy more healing potions, which means you've got to make a sprint past enemies to get to that boss room, pick up your shit, pick up the gold, teleport out of there with the town portal. But I could never do that fast enough. I was consistently dying and losing more and more gold. And I don't know if I had the character build to be able to beat that boss. So I was like, crap, this isn't fun. I don't like the position that I'm in. And I don't necessarily feel like this is necessarily a challenge either. So I ended up downloading the Hero Editor, gave myself a stat boost. I didn't completely overpower myself. I just re-resurrected my character through the Hero Editor. And then like made my claws do some extra damage, gave myself a few more skill points, and beat the boss. And I was like, well, okay, I had to cheat. And that wasn't even really fulfilling. I'm not necessarily having too much fun, at least single player mode. And I don't have a clear objective going into Act 3. So maybe I should just mod the game and start playing with Panda Pat and like kind of abandon my single player playthrough.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Should I continue forward until I beat the game Panda Pat, or do you want to play Classic Diablo 2 with that with that mod?
Well, I mean, I would take whichever you would want, because honestly, I just want to play Diablo 2 with someone. I have been trying to get friends to play even the original with me for a long time, and I thought that this new one releasing, I would get to do that again, but it doesn't seem to be something that's going to happen.
Okay. So
I mean, I'll take whatever you're going to give me.
How about this? How about we play together? Captain Platinum, are you in for this too?
Possibly. Do I need to play it on PC?
It would have to be on PC.
For two, yes. Two is PC only.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if we can work something out, sure. I think I can use a PS5 controller or something for my
computer.
Yeah, right? Yeah. As far as I know. I'd probably figure that
I
out.
I think so. With Diablo 2 and as old as it is, you'll have to...
6 gigs.
you'll have to download, I think, like a script to be able to map it. But actually, the mod Median XL may have something already in it to allow you to connect to your controllers. So that may be an option for you. Regardless, what I'll do is, because I think I'm done. I'm not really having too much fun playing alone. This to me sounds like a game that you have to play with multiple people.
The reason I've been trying to get people to play with me.
Yeah.
You never asked.
So what I'll do.
I literally mentioned it like 20 times. I'm not going to be blatantly like, please play with me.
I'm just teasing you.
So Captain Platinum, get Diablo 2. If you buy Diablo 2, I think it's like $10.
He'll need the expansion as well, because if we have the expansion and he does not, he can't play with us, which is one of the reasons I never got to play with Luke.
Well, I think the expansion now is like standard to buy. You just buy Lord of Destruction.
The whole set, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's like $10.
Back in the day, like when I was trying to play with Luke, it's still going for like $40, even though it was 20 years old. But now that it's got a new release, it's probably cheaper.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a little bit cheaper. So you'll have to get the game, you have to download it. And then I'll post the actual mod. You are going to download the mod and then install it. And then it's just as simple as running the game.
Mm-hmm.
The mod has their own servers that we can connect to.
Sweet.
So we'll just jump on like Discord or something and we'll start playing it. It is very, 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 very different. Having gone as far as I did through the game and having played the mod before, I can tell you like Panda Pat, it's going to be like a new experience.
I mean,
it's Diablo 2, but the builds are completely different. The skill sets are completely different.
Okay.
The UI is different. Just so many things are different. So we're going to play it and I think we should talk about it and talk about our experiences and stuff.
Yeah.
I am off work on Monday. we'll schedule something. We'll figure something out, but I'll post the links and everything. But yeah, so Diablo 2, I think I'm calling it because Mass Effect Legendary Edition, The Legend of Heroes, those games are calling me again.
Well, I just barely bought Legendary Edition because, you know, someone got me all excited about it.
I'm excited to get right back into it. I just started Mass Effect 2.
Okay. In the Legendary Edition version?
The Legendary Edition, yeah.
Okay.
I never played
the Mass Effect games before, mostly just because I had a hard time with the controls and I was just like, I'm not going to put my effort into it. And I was working at GameStop at the time, so I was just like, fuck it.
Okay, when you start Mass Effect 2, literally you press W to walk forward and you're like, this instantly feels so much better. Like, because Mass Effect 1, the controls are janky. They really are.
Yeah.
But Mass Effect 2, Mass Effect 2, like if you can muscle through 1, I guess you could start 2. You really should play through 1 so you can get that
legendary,
entire.
That's fixed, right?
Well, in Mass Effect 1, it still moves kind of janky.
Oh.
But when you play Mass Effect 2, you move so much better.
Yeah.
That alone is worth, like, oh my gosh. I have not talked to Luke. Luke finally finished Mass Effect 1 for the first time.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of wondering what his take is on Mass Effect 2. Mass Effect 2 really is an amazing game compared to 1. And I've never played 3. So I really want to get through it. And then I also want to play Legend of Heroes. But this week has been so busy, I have not been able to play very many games. I've only been able to play for like a couple hours at night. And I'm playing Diablo 2. And my fun levels are very mediocre compared to playing Legend of Heroes or playing... Or playing Mass Effect Legendary Edition. So at that point, I'm like, unless I'm playing with someone, I'm going to stop. Because Diablo 2 is not super enjoyable as a solo game. Yakuza 4, I am progressing as well. I ran into another mini quest that I'm punching time into. So I haven't really gotten much further. Really, I have not had very much time. So that's where I'm at. But we are already kind of over time. So I'm going to go ahead and call it, and then I'm going to send you guys those links, and then maybe next week we can report on our experiences with Diablo 2, the Median XL mod. I don't know. Maybe we'll even stream or something. I don't know.
I like it. I think that would be great. I would love to stream. We could do it. We could attach to the Discord too and everything.
So that would be awesome.
They can listen to me be vulgar whenever I get killed.
Yeah, it'll be great. I can already tell we're going to have fun with it. I'm going to post the mod right now.
Okay.
They just completely upgraded it to version 2 from version 1. It's 2.0.1. It requires a Diablo 2 Lord of Destruction installation. Once you have that, like, the installation of this mod is incredibly simple. So it should be in the group chat right now. So Yay! Just go ahead and check it out. Click it. Once you get Diablo 2 on your computer, install that, and we're good to go.
Okay. I'm ready. My body is ready.
All right. Awesome. All right, guys. Captain, what is that thing we always say?
Hey, it's a holiday weekend, so make sure you game harder.
Game harder. All right, everyone. You all have a good week.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Somewhere in a movie studio corporate boardroom. Okay. Pitch me something good, see?
All right. There's a war. It's in the stars. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away?
That would never work. Next.
All right. So there's an alcoholic tech billionaire, and he's captured by terrorists, builds himself a robot suit to escape, then goes on adventures saving the world with Norse gods and unfrozen World War II superhero.
Boo. Next.
All right, right. This unknown boxer from Philly takes on the champ. Inspirational sports movie.
Not woke enough.
Okay. How about a podcast about movie franchises, how they get made, and whether the movies hold up or not?
Go on.
And we review the movies and talk about them?
I can put that on a lunchbox, and we'll call it Kiss Your Franchise Goodbye. It's the best idea I ever had.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Brooke.
And I'm Andy. Subscribe to Kiss Your Franchise Goodbye on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening now.
Join us every week along with special guests to discuss some of our favorite movie franchises and why the world seems to revolve around them.
Through November, we're discussing the films surrounding James Bond in a miniseries we're calling On Her Majesty's Secret Podcast.
Not just Bond, also Bond-adjacent movies like Austin Powers, Top Secret, unofficial Rogue Bond movies.
Atomic Blonde, The Rock, and some of these will be exclusive to GNN Network subscribers.
Join us with new episodes at the beginning of most weeks, barring any problems with our spy gear.
You expect me to podcast?
No, Bond. I expect you to...
Kiss your franchise goodbye.
This show is part of the Geek Nerd Network.
Geek Nerd Network.
Find more shows like it at geeknerdnetwork.com.
This is GNN.